مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات مدنی مذاکرات
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Tonight is the second night of the blessed month of Rabiul Awwal 1444 Hijri. Blessings of Salat and Salam, page number 2. Saying of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, number 2. The closest to me on the day of judgment amongst the people will be the one who would have recited most salat upon me in the world. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Risk assessment, evaluating potential risks. A systematic process of evaluating potential risks that may be involved in a projected activity or undertaking. This process is called risk assessment. This also includes to take precautions against those problems that may be faced during that activity or undertaking. Our religion also guides us to do work through a sound planning and strategy and to evaluate end results even before starting that work. But unfortunately, we seem lazy in doing risk assessment. Every other day we hear the news that people get involved in accidents. Many become disabled for the rest of their lives, whereas there are many who face serious difficulties for time being. Risk assessment regarding children's safety is highly ignored. It's part of children's nature that whatever they hold in their hands, they put in their mouth. In our households, you may have noticed many small things which are placed on the floor. Children, they grab those things and put them in their mouth, which turns out to be dangerous. According to one report, in UK, every week, approximately 3 children die because of those accidents which could have been avoided. And approximately 2,000 children end up admitting in hospitals. Normally, small children who get involved in accidents are mentioned here briefly. Strangulation by blind cords, burning and choking from button batteries which are commonly found in watches and small toys, drowning in the bath or in water, poisoning due to drinking liquid chemicals, choking on food, common in children, falls downstairs, eating medicines, and it includes electric shock. These are those common accidents amongst children which are preventable. They can easily be avoided if elders take precautionary measures and do proper risk assessment. It is requested in the court of Amir of Ahl Sunnah, what advice would you give in this regard?
MashaAllah, you have given advice in a very comprehensive manner, and you're a doctor as well, and more specifically a psychologist. You have more experience in this. You're right that due to carelessness, due to negligence, children often pass away in a strange manner. You've mentioned only a few of them. They even climb up at dangerous places and they peek through, and at times another child would perhaps push him over, resulting in him falling down on his head or something, which would injure him severely, or he would even pass away. At times, children are greatly fond of hiding at different places. When elders arrive, like their parents or someone, then they hide away. Now, at times, what also happens is that they hide themselves inside a chest or inside a cupboard or a wardrobe, and they end up shutting its door. Now, when the elder person arrives, he wouldn't know that the child is hiding away, and the child remains hiding where they are. They don't get the due oxygen inside, which at times also results in their death. This also happens. I have so much experience in regards to children, so I've implemented so much strictness in this regard on children. I've told them not to hide away in a chest, etc. If it's up to them, they may even hide in a fridge. If there's a deep freezer at home, they may even jump into it to hide from the dad when he comes. This also has severe consequences, and then they also fall into water tanks, even to the extent that at times they fall into a big bucket of water and drown. The bucket is big in size, and the child is small, and whilst he is playing, he looks in the water by standing on the edge of it or would try to grab it, resulting in his drowning and death. This is also how children pass away. Electric shock is also a cause. Unfortunately, in some houses, electric wiring does not meet the due regulations. And as you know that it is the nature of children that they would grab whatever comes to their hands and they would pull it. That's all what they do all the time. They haven't got anything else to do. And they keep doing stuff like this. They'll try to put their finger into the socket or hold onto the wire. They would chew the wire. That's what they do with everything. So these things also lead to their demise. So carelessness is observed in several different ways, which unfortunately leads to little children meet an unfortunate and shocking death in our society. In addition to this, crossing roads on their own is also very dangerous and risky for young children. You know, when I was young, we used to live very close to Kakri ground, literally 2 minutes away. But my mother wouldn't let me go there. Why? Because there was a very big road in between. She knew that I'm a child and I'll run. And running on road that is full of busy traffic is something very dangerous. A driver can't stop the car even if he wants to due to the speed. How would he stop if he needs to? If he presses brakes at full speed, the car may get overturned completely. That's how close children normally run. So my mother wouldn't let me go. And it was the mercy of Allah Almighty that my friend used to say to me that, let's go. Your mom will not find out. And I was like, no, she didn't allow me. And I'll not lie to her. He would say to me that, tell your mom that you're playing in the next street just over here. But I told him that I won't lie to her. I won't go there. My mom stops me from going there. So Alhamdulillah, this was my approach, which I think also became a means of my protection. Otherwise, a child runs uncontrollably on roads as he has no understanding. So we ought to stop children from running on roads as well. There are also certain games of children that also carry so many risks and dangers. You would see children playing all sorts of games, and they are very rough and risky in nature. That also leads to children's death. Fireworks is another cause of it. It has been observed that it has often led to unpleasant consequences. It sets clothing ablaze, people catch fire from it, or their eyes get damaged by crackers getting into them, and so many other things. May Allah Almighty preserve us as well as our children, but we should be careful on our side as well. Children end up drinking bleach, acid. This is also due to our carelessness and negligence. You must have come across many such cases. One doctor informed me about this, that children drink bleach liquid which contains acid. People keep it carelessly in their homes. And the mindset of some of the manufacturers is that a pleasant looking product will lead to higher sales. So it is made in such a beautiful color and packed in such a beautiful bottle that it seems as if it is a cold drink, which renders onlookers mouth-watering, as if it is a tasty cold drink beverage, whereas it is a very dangerous product. A grown-up will stop after realizing what it is, but a child will drink it if he gets hold of it. Even on medicine bottles and covers, it says that keep out of the reach of the children. But even medicines, children do get hold of them as well at times, thinking that my mom, my dad take it, so it must be something good. Why are they stopping me from it? Then children hide from their parents and take it. And you will ultimately have to observe patience, because this would happen because of your own carelessness. May Allah protect us all. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman.
My beloved Amiri Ahle Sunnat, please tell us who has written this Qasida and please mention something about his couplets.
Subhanallah, this is Qasida Burda Sharif, which is very famous. And you can say that people of every country recite it, even in Pakistan it is recited. Whereas the national language spoken in Pakistan is Urdu, people don't understand Arabic but they still rejoice after reciting it. Alhamdulillah. The actual name of this qasida is Al-Kawakib al-Durriya fi Madhi Khair al-Bariya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this qasida al-Burda, i.e. the poem of the cloak, there is a mention of a Yemeni cloak, a shawl of the blessed Yemen. There's a whole account of it. So this is how qasida al-Burda became famous. According to one opinion, the qasida al-Burda comprises of 161 couplets. There are other opinions as well, but according to this very opinion, there are 161 couplets. And it was none other than Sayyiduna Imam Sharfuddin Muhammad Busiri Rahimahullah who wrote it many centuries ago. He Rahimahullah passed away in 696 Hijri, a very long time ago. Whereas now, in this moment of time, the Hijri year in which we are is 1444 Hijri. So it has approximately been 750 years since his passing. So not only has it been this long for his passing, but for Qasida al-Burda as well. And it is accepted. Allah has granted it a lot of acceptance. Qasida al-Burda is the most famous Qasida in the Arabic language. There are other poems as well in Arabic, but the acclaim Allah granted to al-Burda is second to none. Even children memorize it. Sayyiduna Imam Busiri rahimahullah was a distinguished and elite scholar of his time. And when we talk about the field of eloquence, he was unmatched. There was no one like him. His account is such that the illustrious noble saint Imam Busiri rahimahullah became paralyzed. And it was half of his body that was paralyzed. He couldn't move it. And he, rahimahullah, couldn't walk at all. In the meanwhile, he thought to himself that let me plead in prophetic code in the form of poetry. So he, rahimahullah, wrote the Qasida al-Burda in the state of paralysis. And his intention was that after writing it, I will supplicate to Allah through its medium, so that Allah grants me cure. Thus, I wrote that qasida. When I finished writing the whole qasida, then my fortune shone. And he in whose praise I wrote that qasida, my master, the final messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, came in my dream. Now I read the whole qasida to him in my dream. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam listened to the whole qasida. And after listening to the qasida, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who is the master of the entire creation, rubbed his blessed hand that is full of mercy, that bestows the needy and grants cure upon my paralyzed body. Now as soon as the blessed miraculous hands of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam came in contact with my body, I attained cure instantly, and he blessed me with his blessed shawl sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the same Yemeni shawl that was called Burde Yamani. That's what it was called. So he further says that he wrapped me in the shawl, and when I woke up, I was cured and absolutely perfectly fine. The paralysis I was suffering from had completely been cured, and I was back on my feet. And I further read this as well in this regard, that the very same shawl which the jewel of the crown of prophethood, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, had given to Imam Busiri alayhi rahma in the dream, which is known as Burda Yamani, meaning a Yemeni shawl. So Imam Busiri says that when I woke up in the morning, I found the same shawl next to me, which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam granted me in the dream. So wearing it, I was walking down. In the meanwhile, someone called out from behind me saying, Sharfuddin, Ya Sharfuddin. Hearing my name, I turned around and found out there to be a very simple looking person who said to me that the poem you completed last night, please give me a copy of it as well. He says that he was shocked, thinking that he only wrote the poem last night. And I just came out now, I was ill. And I've not spoken about it to anyone either. So how have you come to know about it? Then he replied that why are you hiding it? When you were reading it out to the Prophet in the dream last night, I was also present in that very gathering. Please give me a copy of it. So the matters of elite people are different. Allah is of the greatest majesty and is also elevated the ranks of His chosen servants. The noble elders have written several books on the blessings of Qasida al-Burda. They've written its commentary. Its ijazah is being distributed amongst the mashayikh, after which they all recite it, gaining blessings from it. Ijazah can only be given by he who is allowed to do so, who has ijazah himself and is allowed to give it to others. This then multiplies the benefits of its recital. Various benefits for its different couplets have been mentioned. For example, recite so and so couplet of this poem X number of times, the stammering one has in his speech will be removed. If one is suffering from asthma, in which one experiences breathing problems, then there are certain couplets that are remedy for it. In case one is suffering from spell of magic or effects of jinn, then there is a certain couplet that serves as a cure for it. Many descriptions have been written for this very poem that we know as Qasida al-Burda as to what is the number in which it should be recited, the method of reciting it and the method of writing it down and keeping it with you, the number of commentaries written on it, the number of books you would find written on it, and the acclaim it received since 750 years. I've not seen any poem in my life that received acceptance like that of al-Burda. Allahu Akbar. Nonetheless, if you want to learn more about this subject, there is a booklet that Maktabatul Madina has published in Urdu language, Qasida Burda Se Ruhani Ilaj, meaning spiritual cures from Qasida al-Burda, comprising of only 22 pages. The couplets of the Qasida are obviously written in Arabic, but their blessings are written in Urdu, so that those who can read Urdu can read it and take full advantage of it. Alhamdulillah, this Qasida is full of blessings.
As we heard that due to the blessed hand of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam Busiri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi got killed. Could you also please mention few other accounts which are somewhat similar to this account, but due to the blessed hand of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, someone received cure? I would request you to please mention few. I hope inshallah this will strengthen our iman.
Well, the miracles of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam are mentioned in the Holy Quran. Those people who would be inflicted with leprosy where white marks appear on the body. So he would rub his blessed hand over it and it would get cured. His supplication would grant them cure. Blind by birth. There's one type of blindness that a person experiences at a later stage of his life due to a certain incident or an illness. Like excessive level of diabetes that is beyond normality can also lead to blindness. But then there is a type that we know as congenital blindness, meaning blind by birth. And let me tell you that there's no treatment for congenital blindness. Medical science doesn't have any cure for it. And those who lose their eyesight at a later stage of their life, they do regain their sight at times, and at times they don't also. So those who were blind by birth would have their eyesight restored by the blessings and du'as of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. And there are verses of the Holy Quran in support of this miracle of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. There's a very small booklet of Maktabatul Madina entitled The Terrible Magician. This booklet mentions the saintly miracles manifested by Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And you will find those very verses of the Quran in this very booklet as well. It will refresh your faith. And this whisper that no one can grant cure except Allah despite His bestowment will also be uprooted. Satan the accursed is very cunning and deceiving. A doctor gives cure, no problem. Doctor, please cure me. So and so doctor give such medicine that my child recovered, but how did he recover through a doctor now? Isn't it only Allah who gives cure? Satan will let you believe in this, but when it comes to Allah's chosen servants, he starts manipulating with our minds. And then some people also fall into his trap. And there are verses of Quran in support of this, and there's no doubt that it is Allah who gives cure. But Allah the Almighty gives this wisdom, ability and knowledge to doctors who get this understanding and invent different medicines, whereby the patients who take those medicines eventually get cured, which in fact is from Allah Almighty. But a doctor has been granted this skill and ability where he is able to cure the patient. And now when we talk about the messengers and prophets, they have been given authorities that are far greater than the doctors. Same is the case with the awliya of Allah. So we learn that other than Allah can also grant cure, but only with the bestowal of Allah. So therefore, do not fall prey to any such whispers, and if someone tries to misguide you, do not argue back and have this embedded in your mind that whatever's mentioned in Quran and Hadith, that is absolutely true, and whatever the scholars of Ahlus Sunnah mention, that is correct. And make sure that you don't fall into any cunning ploys and plots of such people, otherwise Satan will snatch your iman away without you even realizing it. Then there are several hadith. There's a hadith of Sahih Bukhari which states that when Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Atiq radiallahu anhu was returning after eliminating a disbeliever whose name was Abu Rafi', at that time he radiallahu anhu fell off from his rooftop. Now due to falling from the rooftop, the blessed foot of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Atiq radiallahu anhu got severely fractured, and rest of his companions then brought him in the court of the Prophet. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam listened to the whole account of Abu Rafi', and after that, on the broken foot of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Atiq, he alayhi salatu wa sallam rubbed his blessed hand, dast-e-shifa, the hand of cure. It is the mercy of Allah that my master is the source where cure is sought from. So when the Holy Prophet ﷺ rubbed his blessed hand over the broken foot of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Atiq radiallahu an, it instantly recovered and joined together. And it recovered and joined together in such a way that no one could even recognize that it is the very same foot that was broken, fractured and injured just a little while ago. So we learn that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has also been given great authorities. And even now the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam grants cure to his ardent devotees by coming in their dream. Noble elders have written many such accounts in their books. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of the Amir of Ahl Sunnah is that certain evil actions become indecent habits of ours. Then there are certain sins that become habits of ours. Now, how can we attain salvation and save ourselves from such sins?
Allah. First, need to have knowledge for this so one can know it is a sin. And it is fard to have this knowledge. Having knowledge regarding sins is obligatory, fard. When we learn about a sin, that it is a sin, only then will we develop a mindset to refrain from the sin. There are many sins that people commit without knowing that they are acts of sin. Now, like people backbite without even knowing that they are backbiting. They don't have knowledge regarding it. Many times people lie, but they have no understanding or mindset of realizing that this very act is also an act of lie. They lack this understanding. Same is the case when it comes to interest. There are many such forms of interest within a business that a businessman is unaware about it and lacks knowledge for it, where he can realize that it's interest, which is why he practices it thinking that he's earning halal, whereas he would be earning haram. That is why it is obligatory, fard, to learn about these matters so that he can refrain from them. We'll find out by scanning through other matters that people are not aware of them, which would result in them having elements like bribery and interest in their matters. There are many forms of bribery. Many times we happen to give and take bribes to and from each other in our routine-based matters which we don't even realize that they are an act of sin. Let's take a person of high influence and authority as an example. And now someone especially invites him to an extravagant meal that is beyond the norms and customs. He didn't do so before, but is doing it now. The person will of course attend wholeheartedly, receiving honor and also a box of presents, which are given to such kind of people. Now what is this? This is of course termed as bribe. If the very same individual was not a person of authority or a person of influence or a dignitary, then would you still invite him for a similar kind of meal? He wouldn't even be offered a sip of water then. We're standing somewhere and a senior police officer passes by. All of a sudden we'll offer him a cold drink that he will perhaps only drink half of it and leave the other half and leave from there. Now what is this? This is bribe. Why this treatment for him? Whereas a poor person is not even offered a glass of water, but a person of authority is especially looked after in case we need him in future. So this is where we need to be careful. When we invite people of authority and influence, with the intention that we may end up needing them in the future. There was a preacher of Dawat-e-Islami who used to work in the police department, and he was at a position and rank where a weapon wouldn't be issued without his approval and signature. This is long time ago. So he was a preacher of Dawat-e-Islami. He had a beard and would also wear an imama. And I was deeply impressed by him. If someone would even offer him a cup of tea, he would refuse it. And his mindset was that I wouldn't even take water from anyone because this is why they are offering me. He wouldn't, as it fell under bribe. This is a very long time ago. Sayyiduna Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah was a very famous saint and the first mujaddid, the first revivalist of Islam. And the scholars have included his caliphate under Khilafat-e Rashida. That's how blessed he was, and he was a tabi'i, meaning that he had seen the Sahaba. So once he, rahmatullah alayhi, went somewhere and some children were standing in the way with a tray of fresh apples for him. Now Sayyiduna Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, who is the caliph of the Muslims, refused to take it, saying, "I won't take it." Now those who were with him were surprised and asked him, "Is it not sunnah to accept presents?" To which he responded that, "Yes, indeed, it is sunnah to accept presents, but this is not a present. This falls under the category of bribe, as they've been made to stand over here to present it to me. Why only to me?" This is in my own words, as in those who were with him, with Umar bin Abdul Aziz, why weren't they offered? And why is it only being offered to me? So whatever is now given to the people of authority, etc., it is not a present or gift, it is bribe, as people need them for their personal matters. And that era was the era of the Tabi'in, that was one of the best eras. And what can be said about nowadays, when we don't even realize that we are committing a sin? Sin on everything. If only 5 minutes of our conversation was to be scanned, there will be elements of backbiting in it, elements of ill opinion in it, lying, false exaggeration, and many other things would be found out in it. Evil intention is another issue, hypocrisy is another issue, where we say something else verbally, but there's something else in our heart. When someone comes, we're like, "Oh, you've come after such a long time, I've been missing you so much." And in our heart, we're like, "Oh, why has he come? I was already running late, and on top, he's come now." But on the face of the other person, we are so nice and polite to him that he may think that we love him even more than his own family members. Whereas it is a display of hypocrisy. It is nothing but show off on the face of the other person. There's no affection in the heart, no love whatsoever. This is our state, alas. The truth is that many people don't even know how to recite kalima properly. However, remember this, that one is a Muslim but cannot pronounce kalima properly, he would still remain a Muslim in this case. We can't declare him non-Muslim just because he can't pronounce the kalima properly. I'm just mentioning a general state of ours. Therefore, acquire knowledge regarding sins, abstain from sins, and take this matter serious. If you don't take it serious, then you won't be able to abstain from sins. We take it very light. So be very serious in this regard. In case a sin gets committed, be severely remorseful over it, whilst thinking that how come I committed it? Then definitely do repent, but then keep thinking about the acceptance of repentance as well. Because we do not have any such tool to measure our repentance, which can give us 100% satisfaction that the sin has been wiped away from our book of deeds and there's no sin on me anymore. Don't be satisfied 100%. Sayyiduna Atbatul Ghulam rahimahullah was a very big wali of Allah. Once he, rahmatullah alayh, passed by a house and fell unconscious. People tried and he regained his consciousness. They asked him, "What happened?" He said that looking at this house has made me recall that I used to live in this house a long time ago in my childhood, and I've just remembered that I disobeyed Allah Almighty over here. Such was the eminence of our noble elders. May Allah shower His mercy. So repent from sins sincerely and develop a mindset not to commit sins and acquire knowledge as well on this subject. Inshallah, you will see positive results. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Madani muzakara, madani muzakara, madani muzakara.